Well, throughout this sermon series, Easter according to Paul, we're getting real close to wrapping it all up. And we've looked at a number of different questions. We've looked at, what is the gospel? We've asked the question, what is resurrection? We've asked, what is death? 1 week we asked, what's the point? What's the point of life? And last week we looked at the question, what is the resurrection body? And so this morning, we're going to look at another question from the biblical text here. And that is, what is the resurrection of the dead? And the emphasis here is, what's the resurrection of the dead? Well, as has been usual, first, I'm going to say what the resurrection of the dead is not. The resurrection of the dead is not the resurrection of the living. You see that? The resurrection of the dead is not the resurrection of the living. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, Paul starts off here in verse 50, right? He says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit what is imperishable. And so he starts off here basically where he left off from last time, verses 35 through 40. You know, he explains what the spiritual body is, right? That a spiritual body doesn't mean a body made out of spirit. It's not this ethereal, ghastly, you know, floating on the clouds body. No, it's the resurrection body is a body that is enlivened by the Holy Spirit. It's a body that is animated by the Holy Spirit. It's a Holy Spirit body, one that's no longer susceptible to sin and death and decay, destruction. And that's where Paul left us with. He talked about, you know, there's a soulish body and there's a spiritual body, a Holy Spirit body. And in verse 50 here, Paul clarifies a little bit more of what he's been talking about. He says, your translation might say, I declare to you, or I'm saying this to you, or I'm telling you this. That word actually is Paul saying, this is what I mean. Okay, I've been talking about spiritual body. Now here is what I mean by all this. He says, flesh and blood, this what we have right here, right now, is unable to inherit God's kingdom. Flesh and blood is unable to inherit God's kingdom. And the things that are perishable, right? Our bodies are perishable. We know that more than ever this past year, right? With the COVID pandemic. We have been, death has been thrust into our faces as a society, as a culture, as the entire world. We know full well our perishableness. And so Paul says, what is perishable cannot inherit what is imperishable. That is God's kingdom, which can never spoil, rust, or fade. And so Paul is clarifying. He says that, yes, this is the resurrection body. We need a resurrection body that would indeed be a body and be enlivened by the Holy Spirit. And it's not made of spirit, but it's a body fully clothed in God himself. Elsewhere, didn't Paul say, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? That will be fully realized when Christ returns and raises the dead. And so Paul's clarifying things. He's clarifying that flesh and blood are perishable bodies in the here and now, do not inherit the imperishable realities of God's future kingdom, where death, the last enemy, will be utterly, utterly destroyed forever. And so Paul explains himself more, and he explains that there is a need for new bodily existence in God's kingdom. But he doesn't stop there by just further explaining himself. He goes on in verse 51. And he says, listen, I tell you a mystery. A mystery, or perhaps a secret. Letting you in on a little secret that is known through Christ. He says, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. So what's Paul talking about here? What's he mean? He says, we will not all sleep. Well, I hope that there's no one sleeping here this morning. Everybody alive and well, awake, right? We're past the daylight savings time. But yeah, I could bore some of us to sleep. Hopefully not talking about this morning, because this is exciting. But, he says we will not all sleep. And, you know, what's he mean by sleep here? Well, sleep means death here. We will not all die. And you go, come on, Paul. What are you talking about? What, we won't all die? Don't you live in this world, Paul? Don't you know that death waits for no man? You know, don't you know that death is just a part of life, Paul? I mean, come on, get real. Everyone dies. Don't you know that? Well, Paul's response is, No, no, no. I'm telling you a mystery. This is a secret hidden in Christ, now revealed in and through Christ Jesus. He says, we will not all die. We will not all die. How can this be? Well, Paul talks about this in some other places too. And we're going to flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. This is what Paul says. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And thus we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, those who have died in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, we who are still alive, who are left or who remain, until the coming of the Lord. Did you hear that? There will be Christians alive and well in the Lord when Jesus returns. We who are still alive, who remain, who haven't died yet, who remain until the coming of the Lord, we will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. The Thessalonians here were concerned, what has happened to my fellow brother or sister or loved one who died in the Lord? Are they going to miss out on the resurrection? And that was their concern. And Paul's saying no. In fact, they will be raised first when Christ returns. And we who are still alive, he goes on to say, or in verse 16 now, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Notice he's coming down from heaven. He's not taking us up to heaven. He's coming down to the earth from heaven. With a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Ooh, we heard that already. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So those who are alive don't get the resurrection first. It's those who are with the Lord, even as we speak here this morning. And verse 17, he says, after that, we who are still alive at the Lord's coming and are left who remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And this, you may have heard of what's called the rapture. This is where people get rapture theology from, is this verse right here. It's this word, raptua, in Latin, where it means to catch up, to sneeze. To seize. Bless me, gesundheit, right? not to sneeze, but to seize. It says that we who are alive will be seized up, caught up together with them, with the Lord coming down from heaven, with his resurrected saints. We'll meet them in the clouds for a meeting with the Lord in the air. Notice it doesn't say heaven. doesn't say heaven, it says in the air, in the atmosphere, right? Because Christ is coming with the clouds. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so in here, we see Paul talking about we who are still alive. And he counts himself among that. He assumes, well, I might see the Lord's coming. He says, we who are still alive, who remain until the coming of the Lord. And so Paul envisions possibly even himself being among those who experience this great mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And so we see that when Christ comes, he will raise the dead in Christ, those who were in him, those who are Christians, those who are saved. But what about those who are not dead? Remember our question, what the resurrection of the dead is not. What about those who are not dead? Do they need resurrection bodies? Do those who remain until the coming of the Lord need resurrection bodies? How can their bodies be raised from the dead if they never died at all? And that's the question here. And that's the mystery. That's the secret that Paul is talking and sharing. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. The dead will be raised imperishable. He says that in verse 52. Verse 52. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we, us living ones, we will be changed. Be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. It really just means like a quick glance, you know, as fast as your eye can just, you know. Everybody, all right, let's try this. Let's just do it. Let's just practice the Lord's return. All right, I want everyone looking here. Keep your head still and just turn your eyes this way on three. Okay, we're looking this way. One, two, three. Okay, oh, I turned my head. Not supposed to do that. But that's what he means. It's in a quick flash glance, just like that, in a moment. We don't know when. No one knows the day or the hour. But in a moment, we will be in glory. Hallelujah. At the last trumpet. And so the resurrection of the dead is not the resurrection of the living. The resurrection of the dead is not the resurrection of the living, because the living at Christ's return need no resurrection at all. But they do need something. Because indeed, as Paul says in verse 15, flesh and blood, what we have right here and right now, cannot inherit the imperishable kingdom of God. So Paul declares that those who are still alive at Christ's coming will instantaneously be transformed and changed into their new glorified bodies. All will be changed. All who are in Christ will be changed. The dead will be raised, and the living will be transformed. All in Christ will be changed. Those who are dead will be changed. Those who are living will be changed. And death, the last enemy, as Paul says in verse 26, will finally and forever be completely obliterated. That's what the resurrection of the dead is not. And that's good news. Let's talk about, real quickly here, what the resurrection of the dead is then for Paul. Obviously, it's for those who died in Christ. We've said that. For those who are Christians, for those who are saved. But there's a special place in God's heart for those who have died in Christ. And we can take this to heart. God has a special place for those who have died in him and who are in heaven with him right now. For those who loved him, for those who followed after him, those who have passed away in the process. And we see that God gives to them a special place of honor at the Lord's return. In both 1 Corinthians 15 and in 1 Thessalonians 4, these two passages, we see Paul reiterate again and again the the dead in Christ will rise first. They are given a first priority when Christ returns. They'll receive their new bodies first. And so 1 Corinthians 15:52 says the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. There's an order. The trumpet sounds, the dead are raised, we will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says the Lord will come down, trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up in the clouds with them. And so we see that there's an order. Christ returns, the dead are raised, and the living are changed. But only the dead need resurrection. If you or I, and I pray that we get to see this, if you or I here this morning get to see the return of Christ with our very eyes, we don't need resurrection, but we do need a change. We do need transformation. So again, I ask this question. Why does this matter? Why should knowing this mystery make any difference in our lives at all? Well, for starters, I think it should excite us. Now, I hear an amen.
Amen.
I think this should excite us. No one knows the day or the hour that Christ will come. We could very well indeed be among those who witness the return of Christ. We could be those who are changed in an instant. We don't know. Paul included himself in that group, so I think, you know, maybe we should too. That instant, in the twinkling of an eye change, who knows? Perhaps it's you, perhaps it's myself, perhaps it's my children, perhaps it's my children's children. We don't know. But it's exciting nonetheless. Maybe we'll be one of those followers of Jesus who never die. Get to be like Enoch. Right? He was just taken off in a chariot. Right? Well, moreover, on this Palm Sunday, when we remember Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, we are reminded that Christ, the King of the universe, will one day have another triumphant victory upon this earth. And on Palm Sunday, we remember not just the first coming of Christ as King, but we look forward to that second coming of Christ as victorious King. Not only victorious King over the rulers and powers and principalities of the spiritual realms of darkness, but also that through his death and through his victory over death, his second coming to earth will mean life. Will mean life eternal, will mean life everlasting. Life that grows, life that does not end in death, life that flourishes. Isn't that what we want? I mean, we hear from Joel Osteen, hey, you want your best life now? You can have it if you buy my book. No, we are promised your best life later. When Christ returns, that's our best life. That is our best life. It'll be a life that grows. It'll be a life of fruitfulness. It'll be a life that brings the deepest joy and satisfaction with the way that God intends things to be. He doesn't want you depressed. He doesn't want us downtrodden. He doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us beaten down and grieving. That's not God's plans for us. I shared a few weeks ago a line from this song that I love. The story isn't over if the story isn't good. And so if you find yourself there this morning or tomorrow or 3 days from now or 3 months from now, be reminded if that story's not good, the story's not over. And so, knowing this mystery that all in Christ will be changed makes all the difference for us this Palm Sunday. It gives perspective to what happened 2,000 years ago when Christ came in victory then. But it also gives perspective to what will happen for us, for you and me, 2 billion years from now. If Christ, maybe Christ will come in 2 billion years. That sounds like a long time. But surely we will be in heaven by then. But it's an eternity. It's an ongoing life in God. It is glory moving from one shade of glory to another. 2 billion years from now. That is eternal life. And then 3 billion. And then another billion years. Because it just goes on and on, my friend. Unlike that song that never ends. Because no one wants to hear that forever. But this life is good. It keeps going and going and going. It keeps growing and growing and growing. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. More joy in the Lord. More happiness in God. More love for Him. More love for one another. More life. And as Scripture says, no more death. Paul's conclusion in verse 28 is, God will be all in all. Let us pray.